This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 24th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, a look at the real history of pirates and destroying old myths. A new exhibit in Chicago attempts to do that. We'll also check the forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. The University of Illinois is $12 million richer thanks to a woman who graduated from the school 65 years ago. University officials say the bequest comes from Arliss Streitmatter Conrad, who died in 2007. She lived in Speer, a small town near Peoria. Conrad graduated from the U of I in 1944 after attending on a four-year scholarship. She was the daughter of a farmer and teacher and wanted to honor both of her parents. So the money will be split between the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences and the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, or ACES. Before her death, Conrad established agriculture scholarships awarded to a junior and senior who planned to go into farming. A $12 million gift will be included in the University of Illinois Foundation's $2.25 billion Brilliant Futures campaign. The chairman of the Illinois House Revenue and Finance Committee is holding hearings around the state seeking input on funding infrastructure priorities for a capital construction bill. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports on yesterday's hearing in Champaign.
Local officials attending the Champaign hearing had plenty of suggestions from Marion Democrat John Bradley about how to spend capital construction funding if lawmakers ever find the money. Bradley has his own proposal to fund transportation projects, raise the state motor fuel tax for the first time since 1990. But some at the hearing worried about motor fuel tax money being diverted for non-transportation purposes. Joe Lamb of Open Road Paving in Champaign-Urbana was among them.
I applaud Representative Bradley for his package. However, the 8 to 11 cent increase to the gas tax would only make up for that money currently being diverted.
Bradley says he supports taking measures to avoid such diversions.
First of all, put it in the state construction account. There aren't any diversions in the state construction account that acts as a lockbox. In addition, put some additional language in there that whatever new monies are generated cannot be used for anything other than roads and bridges.
It's been a decade since lawmakers approved a capital plan in Illinois. Governor Pat Quinn has made a new capital construction bill a priority this year. Bradley says the hearings in Champaign and other cities will show the need for such a bill across Illinois. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Meanwhile, a spokeswoman for Illinois Senate President John Cullerton says he shares Governor Quinn's goal of passing a construction program soon, but doesn't think a special session will be needed to get that done. Quinn said yesterday that lawmakers shouldn't take an Easter break unless there's progress toward passage of a long-stalled construction program. Quinn says his $26 billion capital plan would support 340,000 jobs. He wants to pay for the plan in part with fee increases. Cullerton, meanwhile, also says lawmakers should consider raising the state motor fuel tax, an idea Quinn has rejected. Republican and Green candidates in the Urbana City election have asked the city clerk to hold a ballot lottery to determine the order in which candidates are listed, even though the ballots have already been printed. Those ballots list the Democratic candidates first, but the Republican and Green candidates say that without a lottery to determine the order, state law is being broken. Republican mayoral candidate Rex Bradfield says he plans to take the matter to court if Urbana officials don't agree to hold a ballot lottery in a timely fashion.
What's the smart thing to do here? They're running around like cockroaches when you turn the lights on. They should just say, well, hell, let's try the lottery. Maybe we'll get lucky. Do it right now. Can we get you in here tomorrow? Can we get some representatives from your party in tomorrow?
A letter signed by Bradfield and the other candidates was delivered yesterday to Urbana City Clerk Phyllis Clark. It argues that putting Democrats at the top of the Urbana ballot without a lottery unfairly places other candidates at a potential disadvantage. Besides Bradfield, the letter is signed by Green Party mayoral candidate Daryl Cruz and Green Party City Council candidates Gary Storm and Mark Mallon. Republican Heather Stevenson, who's running for a second term on the Urbana City Council, did not sign the letter. City Clerk Phyllis Clark says she's checking with Urbana City Attorney Ron O'Neill before making a decision on the matter. If a ballot lottery led to printing new ballots in Urbana, the cost would run in the thousands of dollars. The rolling layoffs at Caterpillar have resulted in long lines at unemployment offices in the Peoria area. The East Peoria Caterpillar complex that employs about 2,800 tractor and transmission workers is shut down for the week. Rick Doty of United Auto Workers Local 974 says as a result, workers headed for Illinois Department of Employment Security offices hoping to claim unemployment benefits. Seats filled up quickly yesterday at the Peoria Unemployment Office, and many people opted to sit on the floor while waiting to be served. In Pekin, people lined up outside the office at least 30 minutes before it opened at 8:30 a.m. Last week, Caterpillar blamed a drop in demand for heavy equipment for more layoffs scheduled for June. It would bring the total number laid off worldwide to more than 24,000. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Pirates hold an enduring fascination with the subject of literature, trashy romances, and movies. Now an exhibit at the Field Museum seeks to demystify them. It provides historical perspective at a time when pirates are making the news again. Lynette Kalsnes has this report.
The class of fifth graders from Francis Xavier Ward's school in Chicago is lined up, waiting impatiently. They're eager to see the exhibit, Real Pirates. It includes more than 200 artifacts like treasure and cannons from a sunken pirate ship.
I've been waiting for this for a long time.
That excitement spills over into their best guesses at how pirates talked.
Arg! Ahoy, matey!
I bet they swore a lot.
Yeah, I bet they swore a lot, too.
What else do you know about pirates?
They have peg legs and parrots.
The exhibit examines myths about pirates and takes a look at the golden age of piracy that ended nearly three centuries ago. A few surprises. Some pirates did have peg legs and eye patches. Hey, it was a dangerous job. Some had pets on board, like cats and dogs and, yes, parrots. But they didn't make people walk the plank.
It was kind of a lot of pomp and ceremony for something where they would have probably just thrown them overboard.
Tom Skorsky is a project manager for exhibitions at the Field. He says it's important to look back because history can shed light on what's happening now.
The fact is, they still did kill people. They still did raid ships. And the difference between current pirates in Somalia and what these pirates were doing is not very different. Yet, for some reason, we have this romantic view of them through literature and popular culture.
The Somalis aren't the only ones attacking ships and holding crews and ships for ransom. But an agency that monitors piracy says more than a third of the attacks last year were off the coast of Somalia. Despite these modern-day attacks, pirates still have pop culture status that shows up in fashion like puffy shirts and meet-up groups.
They say that the number two Halloween costume for adults is pirates. You know, the Treasure Island pirates, Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, they represent kind of this bad boy image of, you know, pirates. They did their own thing. They answered to no one. And so I think that there's something very appealing about that to people.
That romanticized view is why teacher Katie Lucas is here with her fifth graders.
They're already starting to make connections with novels and things we've read about slavery and pirates, and you're hearing them make connections with current events. So we're trying to sort of get the Hollywood out of that and make it more realistic to them.
Her students, Gordon Young and Matt Spector, look around with interest. They make immediate links with current events.
Yeah, it's cool to learn about pirates and exhibits, but if you really think about it, pirates are really bad people.
And how about today? Are there any pirates still today?
Yeah, they go on huge cruise ships and take things for ransom.
They're from a country, Somalia, that had a civil war and their government broke up.
Pirates now don't have, like, those pistols anymore. They are loaded with, like, the newest guns, like machine guns and AK-47s and that kind of stuff.
Another student, Raina Lee, is intrigued to learn that pirates voted on things.
They were kind of like us today. With our president, they voted for their captain, like we vote for our president and stuff.
But the most surprising discovery is a chest full of coins.
Why is it so oddly shaped?
Yeah. I always thought they looked like perfect coins.
Yeah.
The students learned that pirates didn't bury their treasure after all. Olivia Guida says it makes sense that they wore the coins as jewelry. She says she never really got the point of burying the treasure. I'm Lynette Kalsnes.
The exhibit, Real Pirates, continues at the Field Museum through October. A wind advisory is in effect until 10 this evening. Mostly cloudy today, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high around 72. Very windy, south winds 25 to 30 miles an hour, gusts around 45. Occasional showers and thunderstorms tonight, lows around 45, very windy, south winds 25 to 30 miles an hour with gusts around 45, becoming southwest down to 15 miles an hour after midnight. The chance of rain at 90%, partly sunny tomorrow, the high around 52. Mostly cloudy Wednesday evening, the low around 32. Partly sunny Thursday, the high around 58 degrees. Mostly cloudy Thursday night and Friday, the low around 40, the high around 58. This has been the AM 580 News Daily This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, March 24th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.